He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the January the 10th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Carlsbad, to be exact. No mudslides at my house last night. We made it through the night, but man, it rained. It never rains in Southern California, but when it does, man, it pours. It really pours. But anyways, the market is very interesting today. You want to listen to today's show because there's a lot going on in the market today. Let's begin by reporting where the averages are out right now. After hitting new highs yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 95 points this morning. You know, 100 points is not what it used to be. Okay, 100 points on 15,000 Dow is a lot different than 100 points on a 25,000 Dow. It's a game of numbers. It's percentages. The Dow is down 0.36% this morning. That's a third of a percent. The Dow is at 25,293. The S&P 500 down about the same percentage-wise. It's down 11 points right now to 2,740. The NASDAQ, the high-flying NASDAQ, is down 0.6%. There's weakness, big weakness in the semiconductor sector. The NASDAQ is at 7,121. The small caps are down about 0.5%. Commodities are up today. Take note of that, please. I'll have more to say about that in a moment. Crude oil is up 38 cents, $63.34. Gold is up $5 to 1,318. Take note of that also. Gold is a commodity. Silver is a commodity, up 4 cents to 1,705. And here's the real culprit right here, the 10-year bond. The 10-year bond right now at 2.59%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You're listening to professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and I'm here with Stephen Gunderson in the Carlsbad BSN studios, the rainy studios of Carlsbad this morning, and it's raining in the bond market today. And Stephen, I'm going to give you an assignment right off the get-go here. The German Bund today, all right? You know where to go to find out where the German Bund is trading, because I have said, you know, as we watched the bond market fall apart here in 2018, it began in 2017, many people have said, keep your eye on the German Bund. Well, we know what the U.S. Treasury is doing today. Why is the bond market down, and why is the 10-year yield at 2.59% today? I also want to know where we began the year on the 10-year Treasury. It's China. China could slow or halt U.S. Treasury purchases. Now, they haven't confirmed this. This is according to Bloomberg. Hitting the U.S. bond market overnight was a Bloomberg story. Well, we've seen a lot of false stories lately. We've seen a lot of fake news lately. But the market is reacting to this Bloomberg story about Beijing reviewing its policy of buying U.S. government paper. And we know that they're one of the largest buyers in the world of our bonds. They're financing much of our debt. It sounds more like Chinese sources flexing their muscles over trade tensions. Well, don't forget, China has leverage over the U.S., don't they? If they're the biggest buyer of your bonds and we start wagging our finger at them over trade issues and trade tensions, well, you know, they're going to threaten and say, well, we'll just stop buying your bonds. So it could be a little bit of that. It could also be that China looks at the U.S. bond market like I look at the U.S. bond market, that it's dangerous, that it will more than likely deliver negative returns, total returns in the year 2018 after a very flat 2017. And it could be that China is diversifying away and not seeing the U.S. Treasury as lucrative as other investments. Okay, Stephen, where is the German Bund? Is it reacting today?
Let's see. It says it's at 1.32%.
1.32%. Where did it begin the year? Okay, that's what I need to know.
The German bond rate. I got to find the history.
Well, go to our. We have it on our in our newsletter every week. You know, on our scorecard.
Right.
Okay, I want to know where the German bond began the year and where it's at now, and I want to know where the U.S. Treasury interest rate began the year. Where is it now? Well, equities are blinking because of the rising rates. Now, I've always said one of the shoes to eventually drop that will bring this bull market, and I don't think that today is the day by any means, but I think eventually the bloated bond market, as it comes unraveled and unwinds, I think eventually it will affect the bond market or the stock market. And you can see today with the sell-off in the bond market, which isn't a brutal sell-off by any means, but it is impacting the stock market. Okay, what do we have on the German Bund?
I'm trying to find it here.
How about the U.S. Treasury real quick? Where did we... Oh, we haven't done that in our new...
I know.
We got to update that in our newsletter. Okay, well, we know...
Well, it looks like I'm looking at the U.S. 10-year Treasury note on Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
And it looks like it closed at 2.41%.
2.41.
2.46.
At the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
Okay, and now we're at
2.58.
So we're up 13 basis points since the beginning of the year. Are you able to do the same thing on the German Bund or not?
That's trying to find it.
That's a little bit more obscure.
Yeah.
But I got to believe that the German bond is also rising here, and we need to watch interest rates around the world. And I would not be buying sovereign debt right now.
Found it.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, so the German Bund started at 0.468. Or 0.468,
right.
Now it's at 0.474.
Okay, so it's flat. No movement yet in the German Bund. All right, well, the Treasury yield, it's the U.S. right now, that is the U.S. bond moving down, sending interest rates higher. Concerns have been emanating from the bond market as the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury dipped further overnight. Yields got up to 2.60. Many well-known investors have warned. Am I a well-known investor?
Sure.
I've warned. Could be signaling a new era for fixed income. With bond guru Bill Gross saying a bond bear market is finally upon us after more than 25 years. Well, I said it in July of 2016. And remember, Bill Gross makes his living from the bond market. He runs the PIMCO Unconstrained Bond Market Fund. He is short. He is net short the bond market.
Wow.
All right. There's also speculation that the Bank of Japan could start to withdraw its stimulus after tapering its bond purchases this week. So, you know what? What does this do to the traditional? It's become traditional. It was not traditional when I first got into this business over two decades ago. Asset allocation between bonds and stocks was always out there, but it wasn't as massive as it is today. I call it the dumbing down of Wall Street. You buy yourself a little software package called, Money Guide?
Money Guide Pro. Or there's e-money.
You get your degree from college, and all of a sudden you're a wealth planner, and you spit the numbers into the computer, and out comes the projections or the allocations that are recommended. This is the model that the vast majority of wealth planners across the nation are now using, the vast majority. And in a nutshell, I mean, if you boil it all down and take all the layers of the onion off around it, at the core is your mix between stocks and bonds. And it basically says if you're 50 years old, you should be 50-50 bonds and stocks. If you're 60 years old, you should increase your bonds to 60 and your stocks to 40. That's what all of the robots are doing right now. They're buying more bonds as the bond market sinks and the stock market rises to rebalance portfolios. I never bought into that model, okay? I'm a contrarian in that regard. I don't want to have any exposure to the bond market at this point in time. And there will come a point in the future, at some point in time, when I don't want to have any or very little exposure to the stock market, but that time is not here yet. For now, I remain for income. They asked Bill Gross this morning, where would you go for yield? And he was suggesting his fund. Imagine that. Which he's predicting negative returns for the bond market this year. And let's go to my predictions. You've written down two so far this year.
Yep.
Can you reread number one?
Bonds will be negative on the year.
Yes. Okay. And now what good does that do if you're retired or planning for retirement? You need 5, 6, 7% a year. What has your financial planner plugged in as returns, expected returns for the bond market over the next 3 to 5 years? That's a key question to ask that financial planner. And what has that financial planner, what is his plan, his or her plan, when the economy starts to unwind and this almost nine-year-old bull market starts to unwind? What's your plan, man or gal? This is Bill Gunderson. I have a plan. I'll discuss it when we come back. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. A lot of very interesting day. There's a lot going on. I noticed this morning. Oh, there's good news. The marijuana stocks are up today.
Hey, there we go.
They're going higher. We've got, I have 481 B plus stocks or more. Wow. That, or they're B plus or better, meaning A plus, A, A minus. Those are the ones that I'm in. 481 is a very high number. And in the past, that has been a pretty good indicator that the market is short-term overbought, all right? So, you know, hey, maybe a hedge on the semiconductors, you know, SOX, S-O-X-S, or something like that, or a double short on the NASDAQ, just as a hedge right now, might make a little bit of sense. So, you know, that'll be one thing that I'll be looking at as a possibility. Now, before we went to the break, I was talking about this traditional asset allocation model, which I think has been turned upside down on its head. If I'm a wealth planner and a financial planner that has been sold the asset allocation model and all of a sudden the bond market is starting to come unraveled, I think the bond market is going to have a horrendous next 3 to 5 years. And I think it's a fair question to ask. Hey, you made some projections for me. You gave me this nice 35-page colored booklet, and it's all cool and looks pretty and everything. It's all I want to know is what projection did you put in for the bond market for the next 3 to 5 years? If they put in 4 or 5% plus positive, that's a big problem. It's a fair question to ask, and I think a lot of financial planners have to be kind of shaking in their boots right now, thinking that, you know what? As I look around, I'm not talking about our firm, Gunderson Capital Management, but as I look around my firm at XYZ wealth planning for senior citizens, and see that 80% of my book or 80% of our assets at our company are invested in the bond market, I'd be really nervous. We have zero exposure to the bond market. And we haven't had any exposure since July of 2016. You can go back and read my articles that I wrote. And almost, I think I called the top in the bond market almost exactly within a week or two. So anyways, let's talk about Japan. Japan's economy grows for the seventh straight quarter. Of course, Japan is relying 100% on monetary policy. They're getting that same 2% growth that we got by relying solely on a zero interest rate policy, ZERP. Japan's economy expands for the straight seven quarters. That's the longest streak since 1990. It's driven by strong exports amid a weaker yen and an uptick in domestic spending. Well, we'll see. Japan, we still have some investments. In fact, did you see Sony yesterday?
I did.
Is it following through today? Let's see. Sony has had a great day. Oh, it's nothing wrong with that. It's up again today, hitting new all-time highs today. And we own a couple other Japanese stocks. Now,
Sony's planning a deeper push into robotics.
I saw that. I absolutely saw that. Well, here's another bond king. You know, really, Bill Gross is still considered the bond king. There was a time when he sat atop the world with the largest mutual fund in America, the PIMCO Total Return Fund. Things blew up at PIMCO between him and management and Muhammad Al-Aryan and all of this and that, and he ended up at Janus Capital. And now he runs the Janus Unconstrained Fund. But a younger version of Bill Gross, supposedly Jeffrey Gundlach, who is at, I can't think of what his bond fund is right now offhand. He hosted a webcast last night. Did you watch it?
I just missed it.
I must have missed it too, but Jeffrey Gundlach hosted a webcast. He said, we are about to enter an era of quantitative tightening. Tightening is opposite of easing. Not good for the bond market when central banks are tightening as opposed to easing, and he expects the return on the S&P 500 this year will be negative.
Oh.
Okay. Well, there's one of the first predictions I've seen for a negative stock market.
Besides the typical guys.
Now, I'm going to have some, Warren Buffett thinks opposite of Gundlach. But I think what is interesting is what Gundlach has to say about the bond market. He doesn't discount that stocks could still have a massive rally to begin 2018, but the later decline should wipe out all that and more. Well, that's where the hedging comes in. That's where the opposite side. If a guy like Bill Gross, you know what Bill Gross called it this morning? He used the same terminology I've used. Let's invest in the other side of the street.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that's the time in the stock market, but in the bond market, what is the bond king? He's unconstrained. That's the name of his fund. I'm unconstrained. I'm unconstrained. Bill Gunderson is unconstrained. I don't have to stay invested 100% in large cap stocks in my premier growth portfolio. I'm unconstrained. And Bill Gross has gone to the other side of the street in his unconstrained bond fund. What's the other side of the street? Short.
Yeah.
It's the inverse side of the street, okay? And I think that's the place to be in the bond market, is on the other side of the street, just like Bill Gross is. But it's not the place to be yet in the stock market. But think about, let's project down the road 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I can always cross the street. And so if you ask me, what's your plan, Gunderson? I get asked that all the time. Yeah. People are obviously saying to themselves, listen, this market's been going up now for almost 9 years. What's your plan, Gunderson, when stocks become fully valued and the economy stops expanding, which it hasn't yet? It continues to expand. When the unemployment numbers start to rise and the employment ratio, unemployment rate starts to rise, what's your plan? Go to the other side of the street. Raise cash. Make money on the other side of the street. Now, Gundlach also agrees with me in that he's the double line. That's his name of his fund, double line. He says that that he believes that the 10-year Treasury, if it breaks above 2.63, it hit 2.60 last night. He thinks that's a major sell signal on the bond market. But here's what he says about commodities. Commodities, on the other hand, may be breaking out, and he expects this class to be one of the best investments this year. Who was selling technology in December and buying commodity-related stocks? We were doing that here at Gunderson Capital Management. I have increased, after having zero exposure to commodities, I had a zero commodity stance for couple of years, 2 or 3 years there, and that means oil, that means gold, that means silver, that means coal, that means nickel, that means cobalt. I did buy a little bit of lithium late last year, but I have increased my exposure considerably to the commodities market. Many of these commodity players, like a BHP, did you see BHP's chart yesterday, the big Australian miner?
I don't think I did.
Take a look.
That looks good.
Is it hitting a new high again today?
It is.
Okay, now take a look at what the dividend yield is. 3.4%.
It's not bad.
Better than a treasury that's getting whacked today. Where do you go for dividend yield? I believe you go to commodity stocks is one idea that pay big dividends. Let's talk about that some more when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. It could be the worst bonds now Radio Hour, too. The bond market is really leading the news here today with, you know, China could just be posturing. It could be it could be absolutely nothing to it. That they've done this many times in the past. Well, we're going to trim back our purchase of U.S. bonds. They've done this many times. They're posturing. They're using the leverage that they have to get what they want. Okay, so I'm not so sure that Bloomberg's story is right. I do believe, however, that China is jawboning. Now, whether they follow through, but there has been evidence lately that China has been a net seller of U.S. Treasuries as opposed to a net buyer of U.S. Treasuries. So we shall see. In the meantime, the best way to handle it, what is, by the way, it's PST, correct? Is PST the inverse bond? Ooh, it's breaking out today. Yeah. Look at that.
It is.
There, now, there's the play, okay? This is when Bill Gross says, I'm on the other side of the street, you as an individual investor can buy the other side of the street. It's PST. PST is breaking out. It broke out big yesterday. It's gapping up again today. PST is an exchange-traded fund corresponding to twice the inverse performance of the Barclays U.S. 10-year U.S. Treasury Bond Index. Okay, so it's double short. Double short the bond market. U.S. Treasuries breaking out to new all-time highs today. There's a way to play the bond market, all right? You go to the dark side, the other side of the street. Okay, more news here coming out today. Pretty busy news day. Trump's going to go to Davos. That hasn't happened since Bill Clinton went. Davos is the World Economic Forum. It's in Switzerland. You always see those guys wearing heavy parkas and the snow's blowing and they're there in Switzerland with all the rest of the... That's always been the one that the... what do you call the Illuminati and all that kind of thing, right? They meet underground there once a year and plan the overthrow of the world. And a lot of conspiracy theorists, the talk show host and whatnot. I've always had their theories about Davos and what really goes on there in Switzerland. And, of course, Bill Clinton was always alleged to be one of the leaders of the Illuminati. He was a... let into it. Alex Jones is always there reporting live from Davos, right? So it'll be interesting to have Trump there. This will start all kind. The rumor mill's really going to fly now.
I think last year Ivanka and Jared Kushner went.
There you go. Uh-oh.
So everyone was freaking out about that.
Yeah. Okay, there's my conspiracy theory. U.S. approves anti-ballistic missile sale to Japan. You know what? Give Trump, and you know what? The South Korean president, Moon Jae-in, said he credits Donald Trump for bringing about the two Koreas to talk with one another. In the meantime, Japan's setting up their anti-ballistic missile system. That's going to help Raytheon a lot. Raytheon is the maker of that system. Let's see how Raytheon's stock is doing today, breaking out to new highs. There's a good bond alternative. Raytheon has a dividend yield of 1.7%. Oh, not as much as the U.S. Treasury, but Raytheon has upside potential for capital appreciation where the bond market doesn't. By the way, Stephen, while I'm giving more news out here, go to our app and click on the sector basic materials and let's see the ranking. What are our top-ranked basic material stocks? Because that another name for basic materials is commodities.
United States Natural Gas.
UNG.
United States Gasoline Fund.
Okay, gasoline, that's UGA. Let me just
Alcoa.
Let me look at UGA right now. UGA is, pretty strong chart, okay.
It's kind of surprising there's only eight in this sector.
Alcoa has, well, do you have the free?
You have the free. Oh, yeah, app. I'm logged out.
You're logged out. Yeah, you got, okay, tell me.
Maybe my ranking.
Alcoa is breaking out to new highs today. It looks like a tech stock did last year. I'm the guy in December said, look, start rotating out of tech. I still have a lot of tech, but I have been rotating into basic materials. Okay, log in.
Okay, sorry. The, now the number one is, well, it's Aurora Cannabis.
Well, that's a commodity.
All right.
It's either a commodity or food. I mean, if you're putting it in cookies, it's food, I guess. It's actually a drug stock, I suppose. All right, what else do we have?
Number two is United States Natural Gas.
Yeah, okay, UNG. All right, that's just a pure investment in UN, and they just did a split, so that's a little bit skewed. Okay, what else?
Number three is, what is this? It's UMICY.
Okay, well, that's a European.
It's in Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium commodity stock. Okay, give me a few more. Give me some.
Vedanta Global Lithium Index.
Oh, Vedanta is very interesting. That's in India. That's a company out of India, the biggest commodity company in India. Huh? VEDL. I know that stock very well. Let's just look at the chart here today. VEDL, very strong chart. Buy signal, and get this, dividend yield to 5.5%. You know, I'm surprised that, of course, Bill Gross is the bond king. They asked him, where do you go for yield, Bill? He says, well, you go across the street and you short the bond market, number one. Number two, you buy cash. Well, what's the yield on cash? Not very much. It seems to me Gundlach is a little smarter guy because Gundlach says you go to commodities. With a falling dollar and rising interest rates, it's the natural place to go. And a strong demand globally, it's the natural place to go in my book. Vedanta is a great example. Give me just a couple
Global
more.
Lithium Index.
Yeah, lit.
Yanzhou Coal Mining.
Okay.
Cobalt Solutions.
Yeah, cobalt's being used.
North American Palladium.
Okay, there you go. Plenty of ideas there, all right? Just go to the app, click on basic materials sector, and you'll see the top-ranked basic material stocks right now. All right, now let's talk a little bit here about the next item here. Let me get back to my notes. Okay, here's what I wanted to get to. While Gundlach is calling for eventual. He's calling for a big rally in the market to begin 2018. Well, that's a pretty good prediction now that it's already underway. But he's saying that by the end of the year, the market will be negative. Buffett, on the other hand, says stocks are not expensive. Now, I'm in that camp. They're not cheap. They're not expensive either. They're kind of a little above the middle right now. And we had a big fund manager last week say the same thing, and Buffett says the same thing. Turning to the stock market, Buffett says values aren't that high given the level of interest rates. Plus, he says the ramifications of the corporate tax cut haven't begun to fully be appreciated. Who's been saying that? I have. We don't really know the ramifications until the end of this earnings season, which begins tomorrow. Tomorrow. He says that this makes the remaining stock market more valuable. Well, I agree with that because that has not been priced into the market yet. We still don't know the impact. Now, here's what he has to say about cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I was going to say, what else did he say?
He said, I would buy a 5-year put on every cryptocurrency. Yes, okay.
Is that even possible, though? I don't think it is.
Well, how's GBTC? Sure. Well, you know how you would do that? You would short GBTC if you can find any.
I don't think they have it.
Yes, they do. Because I talked to somebody who shorted it, but they had to. It's down 3.8% today. So he, like me, is not a believer at all. It's going to end bad, is what he has to say about the cryptocurrencies. And Buffett's also starting to look, I don't know, what's his age now? I think 83, something like that. He's appointing Gregory Abel and Ajit Jain as possible. They become possible likely successors someday to Warren Buffett. Here's your article about Sony planning deeper push into robotics. Sony's new pet dog. You got a pet dog?
Not yet.
Get
no.
a robot. Yeah. You're a millennial. You don't need a real dog. You don't need to open real dog food.
I think a robot dog would scare my kids.
You don't need to take a dog for a walk around the block. Let the robot, and then get a robot to walk the dog. Their new pet dog, Aibo, goes on sale in Japan tomorrow. It's just the beginning of the company's return to robotics, as CEO Kazuo Hirai. Well, we own an ETF, a robotic ETF.
We do.
Correct?
Yep.
All right. The technology we incorporated into Aibo, you know why they call it Aibo? AI stands for artificial intelligence. And the BO comes from the word robotics, hence Aibo. They are going to go big, and they can be part of transportation, education, and healthcare. I'm a big, big believer in robotics and investing in robotics going forward. And I'm also a big, big, big believer in the car revolution. When we come back, a new major venture capital fund forms, and what is their aim? To invest in a variety of startups, including self-driving cars and battery-driven vehicles. We'll be right back.
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. We're finally...
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, which is shaping up to be a very interesting day in the market here today. One of the predictions that I made for 2018 that the bond market will finish negative for the year, finish basically flat for the year, just slightly positive. And if you're saving for retirement, you need your retirement funds to grow. And if you're dragging an anchor around called the bond market, that's going to really impact you big time. And if you're in a traditional asset allocation, it should cause you to rethink. Do I want half or even more of my assets right now in the bond market, in the troubled bond market, in the roiling waters of the bond market, which I think are going to get a lot deeper as time goes on? And you say, well, if not the bond market, what? Well, I've listed all kinds of alternatives. Did you see Boeing yesterday, by the way?
Yeah.
Could you believe that move in Boeing yesterday?
The stock's been incredible.
It's just been incredible. Did you see the move yesterday in Deere and Caterpillar and dividend-paying stocks? Don't you think that that's where income money is going right now? It's pretty obvious. While the bond market spikes downwards, these dividend-paying stocks spike upwards. That ought to tell you a whole lot right there. And what are the asset allocators doing? They're doing the only thing they know. The computer says the 60-40 bonds versus stocks. That's the only thing they know. That's what they've been trained to do. The banks. Did you see the breakout in the banks yesterday? Did you see Comerica flying yesterday? How's it doing today, by the way? CMA.
Again,
it's taking off like a tech stock. Did you see Ameritrade yesterday, AMTD? What's it doing today?
It's breaking out again.
Why are the financials breaking out? Okay, we talked about the commodity stocks benefiting from a weak dollar and rising interest rates. Don't forget the financials. That's where I've also been beefing up my positions. Did you see Schwab? Did you see Schwab yesterday? What's it doing again today?
Same thing.
It's breaking loose. How about BHP? BHP, we just talked about the Australian mining company. New high again today. And now look. Now, you want to see something ugly?
All right.
Look at my face in the mirror. No, look at AGG. That's the aggregate bond market.
Yeah,
I saw that. Is that the ugliest chart out there?
It looks pretty bad. It's falling off a cliff.
And if you follow me on Twitter or on Stock Twits, maybe you can read my tweet from yesterday,
yeah,
Steven.
I saw it.
You saw it.
Yeah.
What
did
I say?
Bond market, AGG, looks horrible. I predicted flat returns last year. I was right. I am predicting negative returns this year.
When did I say that?
That was 21 hours ago.
Yesterday, before all this went down overnight. You know where I see things first? In the charts. That's why my eyes are so tired when I go home. I'm getting stronger glasses finally here. We got just a little slight improvement. My eyes depreciated just a little bit since last year, my last eye exam. But I go home with very tired eyes at night because I look at hundreds and hundreds of stock charts and valuations and relative strength numbers and momentum grades. And by the way, we should have those improvements to the app here. I ordered them yesterday, exactly what I want to do. We'll have a marijuana sector. And for traders, we will have a separate screen for momentum grade stocks of A+. A+, that's it. I have learned from experience on a daily basis, look at those A+ stocks. And you know what's showing up in the A+ stocks right now? Banks. Commodity-driven stocks. Marijuana stocks. Lithium stocks. You know, it's a different market this year. I told you the market was changing late in the year last year. The ugliest chart in the market right now, AGG, which is the aggregate bond market. All right, now, one more little bit of news here. Before we got to call it a day already, cryptos, I just don't like them. In fact, the SEC told ProShares yesterday, we're not going to allow any Bitcoin ETFs. Remember how I talked about a double short Bitcoin ETF?
Yeah.
Nope. The SEC has asked ProShares as well as VanEck Associates and First Trust Advisors to shelf their applications for Bitcoin-related ETFs. And China shutting down local Bitcoin exchanges and banning ICOs. These are Bitcoin operators. They're moving to eradicate the country's Bitcoin mining industry over concerns about excessive electricity consumption and financial risk. I don't like what's going on in Bitcoin. I don't like it at all. And in the meantime, I talked about a major venture capital fund being formed between Nissan, Renault, and Mitsubishi. They're going to go big into self-driving cars and the electric cars.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's another area to play. Is this a different market this year? Is this shaping up to be a different market this year than the one we had last year? Boy, howdy. Because rising interest rates and a continuing weakness in the U.S. dollar is going to continue to impact anything that is interest rate sensitive. I didn't even mention REITs. I bet that's an ugly chart. Let's look at RWR before we got to say goodbye. Oh, I got a stomach. Have we sold all of our REITs?
Yeah.
Yes. We own one. One. And
that
that's it.
Bad.
It'll be gone today.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a guy on Seeking Alpha that's all he does is write about REITs and how juicy they are. Look at that chart.
Yeah,
now, that is a REIT index. RWR is the REIT index. You know what else looks horrible? Utilities. Oh, just pull up Dominion, for instance. D. Pull up D.
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 All right. Yeah, that doesn't look good.
Anything interest rate sensitive, my friends that listen to Bill Gunderson here on the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. If you're not getting the newsletter every week, you're just not in tune with the market. I'm sorry. I'm in the market neck deep every single day, 10 hours a day. You got to get the newsletter. You got to stay on top of it. And if you don't have time to stay on top of it, give us a call. We're money managers here. We're unconstrained. We can go to the other side of the street if needs be. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. In fact, we've been inundated. We've been inundated.
We have been.
Newsletter.
Yep.
The
app,
live trading. We want to open an account with you. Hey, keep the calls coming. We can handle it. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.